good morning. How is everyone doing? I have a special guest in the rear of the sanctuary. I will not tell you who it is, but you know him or her well. I could give you some of the biographical information, but then you'd guess who it was. If you hear any shouting in the background, you may recognize her voice. Oh, it is her. Okay, now there's a clue out there. You may recognize the voice. Happy Mother's Day. This is a wonderful day, and I heard this person in the back of the room singing. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives. Person is raising their hand in the back of the sanctuary. I wish you were here. I have this sneaking suspicion that we're very close to some form of gathering. So hang in there. How about, come bless the Lord. Ever sang this song? All you servants of the Lord who stand by night. Who stand by night in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands in the holy place. In the holy place. And bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. And bless the Lord. Let's sing that again. Come bless the Lord. You can sing too. All ye servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hand in the holy place and bless the initiative to not only include the Sunday evening meal, but for those who can endure it and whose health requirements allow it, also skipping the breakfast meal the next day, Monday morning. We're fasting and praying for God to give us strength, God to give us courage and strength to handle whatever the fallout from this virus pandemic happens to be in terms of human interaction. We're going to be meeting, as I suspect, people different ways, presenting themselves with different problems, or maybe just the same problems, but worse than they were before. We are the ones who have hope. The scripture says, if Christ be not raised from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. But since he has been raised from the dead, we are the only men, the only women who have hope. We need to be able to convey that with energy and with love and with compassion and with sacrificial giving. So please join us tonight at 6 o'clock on our conference call line. I'll put out an email later that has those details for how you can connect on the conference call with us. And we'll be praying. I know some of you have other plans and you can't join us there, but for those of you who can, please do. And we look forward to seeing you out there. You know, the Lord is always drawing near. Since the opening frame of Genesis and the beginning of mankind, he was drawing close to us and increasingly drew closer to us as time went on. You remember the story in Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve had sinned. The serpent beguiled Eve, and she gave into a temptation and offered something to her husband. And he ate, and both of them knew full well that God had said, "Don't eat of the tree in the garden that I have prohibited you from eating, because in the day that you take of that fruit, you will surely die." So here's what happened. After they've committed the sin, in Genesis 3:8 it reads, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." They heard God walking. How did they know it was God? Because he had walked there before. He was a communicative God. He was interested in them. He was their personal God. They knew it was him that they heard walking in the garden. So I picture them being in this forested area. It's maybe hot outside, the sun's beating down, but the trees are blocking the sun, and there's a coolness in the area that they're at. In the cool of the day, here comes the sound of God walking in the garden, looking for them. And it says that they had hid themselves. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And you know what happened next. He rebuked the serpent, he rebuked the woman, he rebuked the man. And he didn't just go, "Okay, I'm done now. My experiment is over. These humans, I offered them glory to live with me in glory forever. There was never going to be death. There was never going to be arduous toil. But now there's going to be, and I'm just done with them." No, he didn't. He continued his drawing closer to mankind, astonishingly, nevertheless. We see it in their wanderings in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. It says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting." So Moses had been given this elaborate plan by God. He wanted him to make this tabernacle out in the wilderness, and all the furnishings and the details of how it should be laid out were followed to the T. And when it was completed, it says here in verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." God's presence filled the place. He wanted to dwell with us. He wanted to be near us. We should want to be near him, but amazingly, he wanted to be near his people. "And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." I want us all to get in the habit of coming to the Lord and praising his name. I started doing that earlier this week, just stopping to praise him, to adore him. It's unnatural to stop and just say, "Father, I just praise you for who you are. I thank you. I glory in your holiness. I thank you that you're a holy God." I thank you that you're an exacting God. I thank you that you are a fire. I thank you that you demand things from me. I thank you that you are merciful. I thank you that you are long-suffering and go through a period of time, just an elongated period of time, before you go into the laundry list of prayers. He knows you have them. But just praising him and just even asking him, daring to ask him, Father, you remember how your presence filled the place, the tabernacle, and Moses couldn't even enter it because your presence was so thick there. Would you just give me some sense of what that was like? Would you just fill this place that I'm standing in, that I'm kneeling in right now and praising you? Would you just fill this sanctuary today with my guest in the back, my unnamed guest? I hope he does before we're done here. But anyway, the cloud settled in and Moses could not enter because of the Lord's presence. And it says then, it goes on to say, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. They would then move encampment. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. They were obedient. Would to God that you and I would be as obedient. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. But that wasn't the end of that story either. That he still yet drew closer. So he at first was walking amongst them in the book of Genesis, and then sin separated them, but he had a plan. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled before him were with him before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. Verse 6, then the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary. But they could not be seen from the outside, and they are there to this day. Verse 9, there was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Don't you just feel like singing praises to him? Wouldn't you love to sense his presence the way they did? So he met them in the tabernacle. He met them in the synagogue. He met them in the temple. And he just continued to draw close to his people. He's still not done. This is the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is just that he had a sacrificial system that he set up. A day every year where a blood of animals was splashed on the mercy seat. Splashed on the mercy seat, which is a type of the coming Christ. So this blood, animal, blood sacrificial system that he instituted was a type of the reality of which Jesus represented. And he still drew closer to us. And his closest contact with us came in the New Testament. And the book of Hebrews is the perfect place to go. His incarnation began to take hold. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. Hebrews 2, 5 through 18. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Speaking of us, you made him, us, for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. He put everything under our control, everything that moves on the face of the earth. Now he's going to switch on to speaking of our Lord Jesus. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, you left nothing outside his control at present. We do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him, different him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for every one of us. He went through death for us so that we won't have to die ultimately. For it was fitting, verse 10, that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, he was perfect, and he was not addressing the idea of an inadequacy that needed to be overcome. But he needed to suffer, and something he had not done. And he was being completed or made perfect through that. And that was an indication of how you and I will travel the remainder of our lives. There will be suffering, and there will be death for us as well. For he who sanctifies, verse 11, and those who are sanctified all have one source, or are of one stock. He that sanctifies and those that are being sanctified are of the same stock as Jesus. Have you thought about that? You are of the same source, the same stock of Jesus. And that is why he is not ashamed to call you brothers. Why? Because his dad is your dad. His father is your father. I know you don't believe me altogether, but let that seep in on you. Ruminate over that. Give some space in your mind, maybe even later today. Think of that. God is your father, the same as he was Jesus' father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother, to call you his sister. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God, and the children of God has given me. Since therefore, verse 14, Hebrews 2, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. The devil not only came down to earth and tempted and witnessed us sinning in Adam, now he stands as our accuser, as it talks of in Revelation 12:10. But Jesus destroyed his authority and deliver all those who, through fear of death, he did, were subject to lifelong slavery. Verse 16, for surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It was necessary for him to be, to take on human nature so that his sacrifice would be adequate, a adequate and complete substitute for your death. For because he himself has suffered, when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. And Jesus, in order to understand your temptation, did not have to experience the sin you experience. He just had to experience the level and the intensity of temptation that you've been presented with. So he understands you, not experientially, in the respect that he committed sin, but he understands the level and the intensity of the temptations you and I have faced, and he's therefore able to help us. So you can see all through the history of mankind, God never stopped drawing nearer to us. And so what should our response be? I'm glad you asked. In Hebrews 4:14 through 16. And let me say this. I'm going to ask you to take full advantage of what we find here in Hebrews 4:14 through 16. But whenever I say anything at the end of a service where I challenge you to now take action, go do this at home, go do that, go do the next thing, I want you to hear in partnership with the Lord. This Bible is a book of redemption. And as I've said a long time ago, it's every sentence of it is addressing a weakness of ours. This is a book of redemption. He knows we can't do any of this without his help. So if I fail to tell you, if I fail to add to any kind of encouragement I give you to take action, the idea that I want you to do it in partnership with the Lord, asking him, Father, you know I can't do this, but I see that you've been drawing closer to me all these years. You've been drawing close to mankind, and now you're speaking through your Son. And you got so close to us that you took on a body and human nature. And I see that. And I experience that. And I want, Lord, to respond to you. But I can't respond. I want to draw close to you. But I know that I can't sustain that because I've tried it before. But Lord, I know you want to help me. I know that you're a high priest that can feel even my weakness to draw close to you. And you want to supplement my strength. And you want to shoulder it with me. And you want to help me to come close to you. And so I ask that you do that, Father. I thank you that you so graciously offer. So here's what we are to partake of. 4:14, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And you can debate whether, well, did he pass through the first three layers of heaven or all seven layers of heaven? Doesn't matter. He sits above in another seven, high above the heavens. Let us hold fast our confession, seeing as how we have a great high priest, and he's great, not only because he's deity, but he's a great high priest for us because he understands all of our sorrows, all of our weaknesses. Let's hold fast our confession. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly, as it says in another version, unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This goes on to say that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you been coming? Have you been encouraged this morning that he really, really, really wants to hear from you? He really, really, really wants you to come to him boldly. He's not going to turn you away. You know, we were watching the Christmas experience. And speaking of this God who's drawing close to us, you can have one person sitting next to another person, and depending on, I've used this illustration before, You have one person praying for something to happen, and it finally happens. And then you have another Christian that hasn't been praying for this event or person, and they see the same thing. They see something happen. Well, the person that's invested in the prayer says, praise God. They see it and they view it as an answer to prayer. The person, the other Christian who happened to not be praying about the event or the person, say, oh yeah, that's good. They have nothing invested, so they weren't looking. We can, if the scripture says, seek and you'll find, knock, the door will be open. If you seek him, you'll see him. If you seek the Lord, you'll see him everywhere. But if you are dull and aren't pursuing him, are not trying to apprehend that for which you've been apprehended, if you just kind of go on with your life, even though you hear what we've talked about, how that God's been trying to involve himself in our lives all this while, then when he does things, you won't see him. So the way for you to respond is to draw close, prayerfully asking his help. But I'm saying to you that when you do, you'll see his activity all around you. And when you don't, when you're laying back and just kind of being apathetic, you'll miss the greatest blessings that he's trying to bring your way. So, draw close to him. Now, mothers, there's a special, we were not able to give you flowers as we are wont to do. But there's a bouquet of sorts that will be coming your way. If I have your email address by 5 o'clock this evening, when all the other presents have been opened, go out there. So if you are a woman, I'm talking to you, go and look in your inbox around 5 o'clock this evening for a little bit of a gift from the Ford River Community Chapel. It's been a delight to be with you today. I wish you were here, but I do have my guest in the back of the room, and I think she's 45, 50 feet away from me, so even if she was trying to infect me with the COVID, she can't get to me. I think the furthest it travels is 32 feet or something like that, so I'm going to stay away. But anyway, we look forward to you coming back. Love you. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you next time.